Oh, that's right. We're right here on WCRS, and I tell you what, it is almost time for football, and my two football broadcasters are... Rob, how many days is it till football starts officially, the football season with Emerald High School?
Emerald, I think we're just on the precipice of single digits. I think today makes 10, so starting tomorrow we'll be in single digits for the first time since last July, of course.
Okay, so that is Rob Gilchrist. He calls all the games with Jonathan Graves. And Jonathan, I know you guys get really excited this time of the year when it comes up for football. I don't know how you do it. You got all the stats. You're always the one kind of just pulling it all together here, and then Rob is over there standing there just giving us play by play, and then you jump in and you are always ready to go. So how you doing, Jonathan?
Doing pretty good. Ready to get back into it. Another season of Emerald Viking football. I've been diligently crunching those numbers and in my man cave, so I'm ready to get out of the man cave. I've been hibernating long enough, is ready to get out, get some football going here, and looking forward to a great season.
Well, I you know, they've got some toughies though, don't they? And particularly interesting this year, I know you said they're playing this Thursday. What happens this Thursday?
You have the Greenwood Jamboree this Thursday. They get a chance to have their final scrimmage before they actually jump into the main regular season, which is that first contest against Greenwood High School at Frank Hill Stadium for the first time in history. But this coming Thursday, they actually play Greenville High School at Greenwood High School, J.W. Babb Stadium, for the Greenwood High School Jamboree. And like I said, after that game, that's when the real games finally begin.
Well, this is a first, isn't it, bringing Greenwood High to Emerald. It's always been over there at Greenwood High, and a lot of people are wondering why. Why are they going to Emerald there? Rob, what can you tell us?
Well, you know, that's been the big question, is why, from all the fans and people out there, supporters of both schools. Whenever I tell them about the big news, the history-making game next Friday night at home, it's, I guess they just thought, let's give that a test run. You know, for a decade plus, until the few years break, until last year, like you said, it's been at J.W. Babb Stadium, and I guess they just wanted to wait till Emerald was kind of got their feet under them. Of course, it's been at school for 20 plus years, and the stadiums have been built. Both have the new, of course, field turf, which is amazing. Always weather tough every single year, or the last couple of years. And it just, I guess they just want to see what it was about. They announced it a couple of years ago about this time that they were going to do a home-and-home series, like a lot of colleges do with rivalries and big games, just to see what it was like, see if the crowds like it, if it works. Maybe they'll do that from now on, a game there, a game here, year to year, just trading places, if you will, as years go on. And if not, it's kind of a win-win. Get to go back to Pinky Babb Stadium, a historic stadium in the Lakelands area. And, you know, of course, it's just a stone's throw from where we are, so it's no big deal either way. But it's big to be an alum of that school to finally see the rival, the Emerald City rivalry, take place at Frank Hill Stadium is a big deal. And I know that the boys will be up for it to be a part of history.
Well, you know, my question would be, is on the visitor's side, that means Greenwood High will be on the visitor's side. Is there going to be enough room for Greenwood High? I mean, you know, they're pretty powerful when they come all out.
I mean, it'll probably be like a concert, standing room only, probably be people all around the track. And like I said before we went on the air, there'll probably be some black and gold on the home side just to make room. And I know that that Brad Nichols and the people out there at Emerald High School do the best they can to accommodate the Eagle crew, the fans coming in from Greenwood High School just down the bypass. So I know that they're going to cross the T's and dot the I's, make sure everybody enjoys themselves. Hopefully the weather will be good. And we had a couple of rain delays last year. We've had a few over the last couple of years. But the only thing that you can predict is that it's football season. It's time to get on that field and see what happens.
Yep. Jonathan, though, Greenwood, I always worry about our guys getting hurt, because when Greenwood and Emerald come together, bad things can happen, because those guys just beat the crap out of us. I'll just be quite frank. I want to see how you spin this one, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm a spin doctor.
Yeah. But,
It's tough to spin this one. Greenwood High is loaded this year. You know, I've gone on the record saying that, you know, I feel like they can definitely make a state championship run with the type of talent that I see over at the Black and Gold school. They've got a ton of talent. They've got, you know, the quarterback coming back. He's got his star receiver. He's coming back. Actually, one of our top receivers transferred over to Greenwood High, Alex Greer. They've got, you know, a loaded wide receiver. Why did he do that? You had to ask.
What did they promise him over there?
That's the same thing when it happened. You have to ask his family about that one. But they're just loaded at every position. They always have, you know, a lot of talent. They lost a little bit of talent on the defensive end, but they, you know, replaced it with some young talent that they got from Brewer and Northside. So Emerald is going to have to definitely make sure that they ball control. Their offense has been testing out, you know, this I formation in the scrimmages that I've seen this coming summer. They're definitely going to have to pull that out against Greenwood High because, you know, in order to make sure that Dre Yarbrough stays off the field, you've got to make sure that your offense is on the field. And that's going to take a lot of Kashawn Settles and Trayshawn Chamberlain running that football and making sure that Greenwood's high-powered offense is off that field. So Emerald will have a good shot at it. They had a shot last year, just came up a little bit short. I know the score didn't indicate that, but, you know, fourth quarter, 5 minutes left, Emerald was, you know, one score away from making it happen. So I think they'll hang in it again, but like I said, it'll be a tough job to get it done. But you never know. Sometimes once teams get under those Frank Hill lights, strange things tend to happen. So we'll just have to, hopefully the game will take place on a Friday night this time. Last time it was Saturday. But if it takes place on a Friday night, like I said, you get them up under those Frank Hill Stadium lights, you get the crowd behind you, the purple and gold faithful, I'm sure they'll be out and powerful that night. You never know what could happen.
So you're saying they could be under our spell?
I'm saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
it may be a slim chance, but hey, we've always, Emerald, you know, Emerald has a very small margin for error to begin with anytime they play the type of offense they play and the type of defense they play. So, you know, last year we were in the mix in a lot of games, and, you know, for some reason we just sometimes it just didn't work in our favor. So this year, you know, first game, you're obviously both teams going to have some, you know, first game jitters. There's going to be some penalties on both sides, possibly some cramping, some injuries. But like I said, they're going to be in the mix, and that's kind of what I've said for this entire season. It's a mixed season.
Yeah.
And I'm not picking them to win the region championship like I've done in the past. I'm just saying they're going to be in the mix in a lot of these ball games. And hopefully, instead of last year where we were on the losing side of those games, hopefully we'll be on the winning side, and that'll give us a chance to hopefully host a home playoff game.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did one a couple of years ago. Last year we had the crazy finish at Crescent in the first round, and then we just – were absolutely just knocked around at Newberry, which was fun to go to. They built up the new stadium out there on the campus, and their running tandem was just all over the place. Like Jay said, that was always the bad side of the Emerald City rivalry for so many years growing up, was Emerald always had to start off the season 0-1. Back when we were 2A, going to Pinky Babb Stadium, battling as best we can. I think of my 4 years at Emerald, I think our best game we had was my junior year in 0-2. We were close at halftime, and then they just overpowered us in the second half. And last year, like Jay said, we were actually in the mix. The score doesn't show it, but it was
The score doesn't show it.
They had some late scores by Yarbrough. I mean, he broke off some big runs late in the game when we were right there, right on the door. They just kind of knocked it right down. And he's just a one-man wrecking crew. And you're looking at their schedule coming up. They have 4 non-region games. 3 are on the road. They have to do a lot of traveling after they play us. They host. Well, they're on the road the first 2 weeks. They go all the way down to Midland Valley. And I know a lot of Greenwood High fans and alum, they like that they get to venture out outside the Lakelands area, but that puts a lot of clicks on the odometer for the buses and for the fans and parents and families. And then they come back to play Goose Creek, and then their last one is down at Aiken, who they played for a couple of state titles back in the early millennia. But like Jay said, it's just going to be, we got to just play our game, take care of our business, let the chips fall where they may. We get to a historical night at Frank Hill Stadium. We've beaten a lot of big-name teams out there, Daniel, some really good Abbeville 96 teams at home, and we would love to add the Greenwood Eagles to that list, but only time will tell when next Friday night comes around.
There you go. Well, you've heard it right here on WCRS. My broadcasters here who do an awesome job every Friday night. They are there. They're giving the stats. I tell you what, Jonathan does a great job with his stats. And then, of course, Rob is out there with the play-by-play. If you want to be part of high school football, there can be no better than the Emerald Vikings. I mean, the team is... always needs cheering on. We'd love to see them make a big finish. Do you think they have it in them for this year?
I think so. I mean, it's, you know, with the schedule flipping year to year, we get a heavy road region schedule this time. Three out of the five will be on the road. Powdersville, Carolina, Berea will be on the road right in the month of October. And the first two, Powdersville and Carolina, never been to before, only played them once each the last year. Both games we just ran out of steam against Powdersville at home, and then we took care of business against Carolina, which is a good confidence boost win. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. And of course, for the last game of the season, we'll be at Berea, like we were a couple of years ago. They gave us a great game. Always a good, tough Bulldog squad. But I see us finishing real strong. We had a tough start. We went 1-4 to start off the season. Only beat 96, and we turned it around, got to 5-5. First time in over a decade that we were able to do that to get into the playoffs. I mean, it's a real tough, gritty team. And Coach Mack, coming in his ninth year at the helm of the Purple and Gold, he's the second longest tenured coach, right behind Frank Hill, who was there for 10 years. And he's just always has the guys ready, no matter what. And he has a great coaching staff. He's lost a coordinator here and there from year to year, but he just always has a great tandem of coaches and just gets them all into the program, gets them into a system. The two platoon system has worked wonders for us. No tired guys, no guys having to play both sides of the ball anymore like the old days. I just see him doing real strong. It's going to be a tough row, of course, with the non-region teams, the big guys, the great teams that we have to face. But, you know, we've done no worse than 5-5 year after year. And that just shows you it's consistently, and we're still going. It's still one game at a time, one year at a time.
Well, isn't Coach Mack's son coming back? Is that right? Did I read that? No.
He may be. I've never heard anything about that, but he was, of course, at Clemson, worked on their trainer staff, and you know it was great to have him work with them. I know he learned a lot with that amazing coaching staff up there at Death Valley. And of course we've got great coordinators that we have, the great assistant coaches, Terrence Scott, who coached the defensive backs. He's a real tough old school kind of guy. I've known him since college, and we just, Coach Mack knows what he's doing, the players he wants and the coaches he wants. He may lose a guy to another school here and there, like I said, the coordinators we've lost to different schools around the area and in the region. But any guy that comes in for his first year, Coach Mack is like, here's the system, here's what we're going to do. You can bring in your own thing. Let's just make it all work so we can just, let's just push forward. No snags, no issues. Let's just keep going. The guys, the best players will play. And it'll just be, if his son comes back and gets on the staff, it'll be a great family connection for him to kind of get something started. And I know if he does do that, he'll be happy to come back in at Emerald High School, reconnect with some old friends like all the alumni like to do, and the games come around on a Friday night at Frank Hill Stadium.
Sounds like a winner type situation here. Now, Jonathan, of course, you work in the district office here, and you work in communications. Is that right?
That's right.
That's right. Is everybody ready to go back to school? How is the school district? Is it ready to roll?
We're rocking and rolling, getting ready for not only the opening day of school, but then, you know, we have the solar eclipse coming up on August 21st. So it's going to be two big days. You know, you have that Thursday with the first day of school, and then you got to settle down a little bit because obviously you've got Emerald versus Greenwood High that next day. You get the weekend to kind of decompress, and then you're right back at it that next Monday with solar eclipse, which we do have a lot of activities planned for that day. Compliments to VLUX on providing us with all of our solar eclipse glasses that we will be provided not only for the students but also for the staff on that day. But looking forward to not only kicking off another great year of school, but then also, like I mentioned before, on the 21st, that solar eclipse day is going to be huge for us.
Absolutely. It's going to be huge for Greenwood because we are right in the path. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. And there's not going to be a motel room or anything. I know people, they're already booked up and ready, and lots of activities going on at Lander and over there at the 96 State Historical Park over there has got stuff going on. So it's a day definitely to get your glasses. If you don't have them, the only place that I know that did have them was over there at Lowe's. If anybody knows any others, just let me know and we'll be glad to put it out there. But one thing is, be careful. Now, I would think this would be quite a handful, though, for the teachers. Are they doing things school by school, or how are they setting up for the eclipse, Jonathan, just out of curiosity?
Each school has a plan that they have in place of how they're going to decide which kids or, you know, what classes go out at what time they go out. You know, I just talked to one school. They're going to make sure that all the kids get a chance to see the total eclipse, which is going to happen around 2:30, I believe, and it'll last for about 3 minutes. So they're going to make sure that all of their kids that actually have permission to view the solar eclipse get out there, get a chance to get those glasses on and actually see it in full effect. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I want to get this right, I think the next one is actually scheduled for 2030 or somewhere in there. But it
yeah,
could.
They'll definitely see another one, whether we do or not.
They'll see another one, but I'm not sure our chances are that great right now, Ann. But yeah, the kids will probably be, you know, 60s or 70s when they get to see their next one. So we want to make sure that all of them get the chance to view it, and we definitely want to make sure that if they are going to remain in school, that we give them a safe way of doing it and also give them the educational opportunity to actually see it in full view.
Well, I know the other thing is 2:30. That's about the time they're finishing up, too, isn't it?
Well, we're actually extending the school day by 20 minutes.
I think Dr. Johnson, he released a statement, sent out a mass-wide email saying, okay, here's solar eclipse day. Everything's getting pushed forward, so everyone's right there. And like you said, everyone can be there for it at their schools and see it happen. And like you said, Ann, you know, all the articles I've seen, it's been pictures from different points of view,
right,
in the local papers. And one, of course, the big one, as you said, the motels and hotels, the Inn on the Square right there in uptown Greenwood has a great view of it, because it's got, we have a nice little skyline, if you will, and nothing blocks the view. And they just showed it from one of the floors, I guess probably midway up, and it just said this where it's coming from. It was a great kind of point of view snapshot, just to show that Greenwood, you know, we'll bring a crowd for anything, whether it be a solar eclipse, a festival, or of course whenever the Masters are around, the golfing fanatics come through, because it's one of the hubs that lead you out to, across the state line into Augusta. So that's just the great thing about being in the Emerald City, is everything that goes on and everything that we just try to be a part of, no matter what it could be.
Sure. Well, it's a huge win for the state, because they are going to get a huge economic boom, and of course Greenwood is going to benefit by that too. But actually Peggy and I were talking about that. Now, just out of curiosity, Jonathan, parents have to give permission for the kids to be able to view it.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that the kids actually are viewing it safely. But that was something that's actually on the registration forms for school. They can do it online, or then we also have a paper copy. But basically, they have to just check mark if they want their child to view the eclipse or if they don't want them to view it.
How would you like to be the child whose parents said, no, we don't want you to view it?
Well, the one way to look at it is if they did check mark no, possibly they could already have a plan in place that they're going to get their child dismissed early and take them, and they'll view it with them. So you got to think positively, Ann.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking about that, though. Mom, how come I can't view the eclipse? Because I said so.
Because you're going to view it with me later.
Okay.
You ain't missing nothing.
It's just going to be dark. Okay. Hey, we'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. And I tell you what, I've got the broadcasters for Emerald High Football with me. We always do this at least once a year. I have Jonathan Graves. He's the stats man. And then I have Rob Gilchrist. They like to say on the air when they're out there, my brother from another mother. I don't know, folks, but they seem to have a good time.
You're stealing our material.
No, I'm just making sure everybody tunes in. Yeah, right. Get a copyright on it. It's not the first time I've heard it, just for the record. Okay, but anyways, they have a lot of good magic going on, and I'd put them, I tell you what, against anybody else out there broadcasting. They make it interesting. You don't have to see the game to feel like you're there, and I think that is terrific. 8 years working with us here at WCRS. It's been fantastic. We're getting ready for another year, and of course, Rob, I'm going to go ahead and change gears for just a minute because yeah, I know you're dying to talk about Clemson, which we carry here on WCRS too. So luckily we have the whole winning combination here. Great, you know, you can't say anything more. It was out of the park. Great year last year for Clemson. And they've got a lot to live up to this year. What do you think?
Well, you know, it was an amazing season last year. I was able to go to all the home games. First time in a while that I've been able to do that. It was just an incredible season. You know, my folks were able to live through the first championship season in 81. As my sister was born that year. They were actually in a hotel room during the 82 championship, and my oldest sister, Corey, was a few months old. She was born in October of that year, and when we were getting into the championship, all those memories started coming back, and of course, me and my mom and our good friends Amy and Randy Vaughn all got tickets to the championship down in Tampa and went down there, had an amazing time. Of course, I was on the air with you,
right?
Down there in the tailgate spot, just letting you know what it was like. It was an amazing night getting to play a historic team, a rematch against Alabama. Our seats were the last row in the corner. We were so high up, we were high-fiving Jesus halfway through the game, you know. We could see
you
Tampa,
truthfully...
Orlando. I think we could see the radio tower out here at WCRS. We were so high up, but no matter where we were sitting, it was a great experience, and it was an atmosphere like no other. And the way the game ended up, with a great drive, Deshaun to Renfro, the walk-on, the kid from the Grand Strand, and just, like you said, a lot to live up to. And, of course, we got the Lakeland's own Kelly Bryant on the team. He's going to be a starting quarterback, according to a lot of depth chart reviews. And, of course, we've got our big guy, the big dog, Gage Cervenka. He's going to flip over to the O-line, play a little center behind Falsinelli. He'll probably get a lot of starting time when we play Kent State first game on September 2nd. But it's just, you know, I look back at the last year and into this year. We were saying off the air, I see no worse than 9-3 because, you know, we have a lot of guys to build up, but it's a team by committee, especially on offense. Our defense is outstanding. Everyone's been talking about them from every circuit out there, from ESPN to all the local guys. So it's just I've got nothing but optimism for 2017, as I always do, for my Tigers and, of course, for my alum, the Emerald Vikes.
So, but what do you think about the pressure they're going to be on? Do you think they're going to feel the pressure?
Yeah, you know, there's pressure every year, no matter what you do, whether you go 12-0 or 0-12. It's just it's another year to redeem yourself. And, you know, when you only lose one game, that's the only game you have to kind of get back and get payback. But unfortunately, it was against Pittsburgh. They played an amazing game against us at home. It was our first home loss in a long time. We don't get to play them for another few years because they're on that coastal rotation. But again, just it woke us up. You know, 2 years ago, we went undefeated. We kind of had the ego going a little bit where everyone was the talk of the town, and we just ran out of gas against Alabama. They just outgained us in that championship last year. This year, the loss to Pittsburgh, that game-winning field goal to end it, to win it for the Panthers, it got us back down to earth. We weren't exactly egos like before, but we needed some of that. We needed a shot in the arm, kind of a wake-up session. That was it, because after that, we just ran the table, beat South Carolina by the biggest margin of victory in ACC-SEC history, took care of business, and battled off a very tough Virginia Tech team in the relocated ACC championship. And then shut out Urban Meyer and Ohio State in the semis and then just battled out and finally came out on top against the Tide. So the pressure's on there, but we're just going to, like Dabo tells him, it's one game at a time. Just worry about us. We're going to do our job and just take care of business.
You know, I think one of the quiet heroes, Gage Cervenka, Jonathan, when he played, he was a wrestler, went all the way to the top. We had him on the show. I mean, what a quiet, just very down-to-earth type of guy.
Yeah, Gage is awesome. I mean, you know, one of our great Emerald alums that have gone on to play at a D1 school at Clemson, and, you know, always get a chance to see his parents, and every now and then he'll come back to visit us in the booth, and he'll come back to see a game. But he's doing great things. I look forward to seeing him do some great things, hopefully on the O-line at Clemson this year. But, you know, some of the greatest games, and I always tell Rob, I think one of the best teams, his last year as a senior, that was, to me, one of the top teams in Emerald High School, you know, history in terms of football. You know, I think that team right there ranks at least in the top five for me, just for some of the things that they did. But Gage was, he was at the forefront of all of it, played on the defensive line, gave us a great push on that line, and then also every now and then they'd hand the football off to him and he'd go rumbling, stumbling, and bumbling down the field, and sometimes even into the end zone a couple of times. But Gage was a great guy. Not only did it on the athletic field, but also was a great student academically. Ended up winning the Charles L. Graves Award, which is one of the top honors at Emerald High School. And I don't think that's too shabby. So I think he had an outstanding career, not only on the playing field, but then also in the classroom. And, you know, whenever you talk about a kid like Gage Cervenka and you talk to some of these young guys like a Cody Jay or a Michael Hodge or a Ben Kenny, you can always point to a Gage Cervenka and be like, you know, that's one kid that you could really model yourself after, and that's a kid that you could really serve as a great example for you, not only on the football field, to strive for excellence on the football field, but then to also strive for excellence in the classroom, in the hallways. I mean, you've got to be putting in the work every day, not only to be an athlete, but then also to be a student. And I think that's what Gage embodied during his 4 years at Emerald.
Yeah. What's he majoring in, do you know?
I think Gage is majoring in mass communications, if I'm not mistaken, or sports management, something like that.
He may be on the sports science side because he's thought about going into med school of some sort after he's done, if nothing comes of football on the pro level, after he's done at Clemson. Of course, he's a redshirt sophomore this coming year, so he's got extra year to learn more and get some playing time under his belt. But like Jay said, you know, Gage, stand-up kid, one of the best people I've ever known. People asked me about him when he was going into Clemson. I said, this guy reminds me of Vic Beasley, Gray Jarrett, really kind of the quiet storm kind of guy. He's real quiet, real humble, real nice guy off the field, a great student, scholar athlete. And then, but when you get him on the field, he turns on that switch and he just dominates from start to finish, no matter where you put him, from defensive tackle to fullback to tight end. I mean, he was just a man of many talents for the Emerald Viking squad. And like we talked about, I think what Jay was referencing to was our 10-3 season back in 2014. We had the great wins, the upset at the Storm Center, the shocker at the Storm Center at Wren High School in the second round of the playoffs, beating Kelly Bryant, who was a senior that year. It was, both of them were seniors coming in, and of course now they're both teammates and they're good friends now. And that's what you love to see, is these small school, small area players get to go to Carolina, get to go to Clemson. They may have been rivals on a Friday night, but they get to be teammates on Saturdays and some Thursdays. And I know they just got love for the area. They always try to come back and do what they can to make the community of the Lakelands area and Greenwood the best place it can be, and be a great representative of the area as they are from year to year as they go on into future things.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, then we're going to come back. Hey, talk about sponsorship. Football advertising is some of the best advertising around. Very affordable here on WCRS, and we give you the exposure, not only during the game, but during the week. So give me a call, Ann Eller, 229-7984, and let us put together Clemson, Emerald, combination packages. You'll really win with them right here on WCRS. And it's perfect time. It's going into Christmas, so what better time of the year to be advertising and getting your business out there? Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here talking about Emerald High School. They are a 3A school, and we were just talking about Coach Mack coming and being here. This will be his ninth year. I think the first year we started carrying Emerald football, that was his very first year.
Yeah.
Yep.
2009, that was back when I was the sideline reporter for most of the season with the Gary guys, and it was a crazy change.
It was a tough year.
It was. I mean, it was his worst year that he's had. You know, of course, the first year, you know, your first year out, you always get kind of knocked around, and you're just learning the roots, if you will, learning the game. To come from North Carolina, he had a lot of success up there. For him to come down to us after the three tough years that we had with Clowney, after the stellar year, the 1 year we had with Coach Mack Bryan after Frank Hill retired, and after 05 or after 04, it just, you know, like I was saying before we came back, just shows the level of pride and love and loyalty that he has. I mean, I'm sure he's gotten phone calls when the season's done, just how well he's done, knowing that we're the second fiddle, the little brother school with Greenwood High just up the bypass, knowing how tough year to year is. Now getting back with the Emerald City rivalry is just another challenge for him to accomplish. You know, if he becomes the first coach ever to defeat Greenwood, whether it's this coming Friday next week or sometime in the future if he stays around with us, I know that'll just be a feather in the cap, and like we were saying about his son possibly coming back to be on his coaching staff. I mean, it just so much works for him. I know he couldn't ask for a better school and a better team, just a lot of hungry young kids who just want to prove themselves year after year. You know, to go from 3-8 in his first year to 5-5 last year and have that great 10-win season a couple of years ago, and everywhere in between has been his seasons. You know, he's just a real stand-up guy, tough as nails, old school. He's willing to hear from the kids, wants to make sure that they're doing great. Like the saying goes, they're a student athlete, student comes first. You do well in the classroom, you're going to do great beyond that when you're done your time and got your diploma from a great school like Emerald.
Well, I think that is one of the things about Coach Mack, is that he does put the emphasis on school. And if you're not doing right for your school, you're not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I think, you know, they'll bend over backwards to help you make it and this type of thing. But you've got to put, the student has to put the effort into it. And I think that's refreshing to see.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, every time I go over there on a Thursday to do my pep talks, and he always kind of gets them ready, lets them know what to do, and he makes sure they're to the T. He says, if you're here at this time, we've got, you know, our meal. If it's a road game, you got to be here at this time. If you're not, you may get docked and playing time. He makes you earn your time and earn your keep and earn your spot, and that's what they need, especially at the high school level. You got these kids, 14 to 18 years old, just trying to learn the world, going through a lot of different things, just getting into that level with dreams of D1 football and the big one over there in the NFL. You know, this is where this is the launching pad. And if you've got a great coach who cares about you on every single spectrum, from student and on the field and in the classroom, then that's all that you really need. Yeah, the seasons may not go too well, but you got that diploma and you got a lot to look forward to in the coming years when you're done at the high school level.
Absolutely. So, Jonathan, what can you say that puts a good spin on the year here? Have you got any words of wisdom you'd like to share with us as we get ready to finish up here today?
I think if Emerald stays committed to what they do best, and that's running the football, playing good physical football along the lines, offensive line and defensive lines, and they stay true to their fundamentals, which is something that at times we struggle with, especially early in the season, and that came with the tackling, the penalties, the missed assignments, you know, things like that. You know, I think if they play up to their potential, they play you know, to their strengths, I think they could really have a good season. Now, am I saying they're going to win, like, the region championship or the state championship? No, I'm not going that far. But I do feel like, you know, as I mentioned before, they're going to be in the mix of a lot of games just because of the talent they bring to the field. I mean, they have a lot of returning starters from last year, only lost about 13 or 14 seniors from last year's team, which means that you've got a lot of consistency there in terms of your talent. But, as I mentioned before, you've got to stay out of your own way. So that means that the penalties, the missed assignments, the missed tackles, you know, all the little things that can really add up to an L, to a loss, they've got to try to avoid. And if they do that, as I mentioned before, I think they'll be in a lot of games, and I think it could be the difference from them, you know, getting a win or taking a loss. If they do the things they need to do consistently, as Coach Mack always points out, keep the gun barrel pointed away from your toe, directly pointed away from your toe, you'll do a lot better, and you'll win some of these close ball games against some of these tough teams. If they can get some confidence in these non-region games, that'll give them an excellent shot of hopefully winning some region games and hopefully getting that home playoff game, which I know is what me and Rob, we wanted each year, and I know the players wanted, I know the coaches and fans, they wanted as well. Whenever you can get a home playoff game under your own lights, it always helps your cause in trying to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Sure. Now, of course, Abbeville is after Greenwood, so what do we think for Abbeville this year?
Abbeville is going to the state championship again. They did not lose one difference maker from that team that went to the state last year and won the state last year, which leads me to believe that they're on track to do it again this year.
They could be overconfident.
They could be, but the way that Coach Nichols, Coach Nichols plays it one game at a time, like Coach Mack, and sometimes he even goes, you know, even one quarter at a time, you know, one play at a time. So he even takes it to the extreme. So he takes it, you know, by the book. I mean, he's not going to allow those guys to look ahead to anything. And they've just got a string of excellence over there. I mean, I don't know where they get those players from. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if it's something in the water or if it's a barn or it's somebody's backyard. But they keep producing man-childs each and every year. And it's no different this year. Emerald's going to have a tough test when they go up to Abbeville. And last year, I know they put it on us pretty good. So we've got definitely some revenge that we need to take out on Abbeville this year. Not sure if it's going to translate into a W, because Heights Stadium is one of the toughest places to play in the state, but hopefully Emerald will be in that game and give themselves a chance to get a W. Those first two games are really tough. You know, Greenwood High, I feel like they could make a run at the state championship, and then Abbeville, another state championship contender. So Emerald's got their work cut out for those first two games, and it doesn't get any easier after that in the non-region schedule.
Well, of course, one of the things you want to make sure you that minimize any injuries.
Yeah, you do not want any injuries in the non-region schedule, because you need all those players in order to compete in the region. And really, our depth is going to be tested this year, because you know, we try to do the two platoon system, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. You know, we've got a lot of younger players that are coming up from Westview. A lot of them have never experienced the Friday night lights. And if you can help it, you do not want to put those guys out into the fire their first year. You want to try to make sure that you keep your more experienced players on the field, because they give you the best opportunity to win. But in this non-region schedule, you definitely do not want to have any injuries to your top playmakers. You want to make sure that all those guys are healthy and ready to go when October hits and the real games begin.
There you go. Well, you have heard it this afternoon on WCRS. Jonathan and Rob do an excellent, excellent job. I tell you what, they love talking about the businesses that support Emerald High School. And, of course, Rob here is going to be – how many games are you going to get to go to this year for Clemson?
I believe we've got another 7-game tandem coming in home-wise. Hopefully I'll get to go to all of them, weather permitting and time permitting. We do have, I believe we have, and we had this last year, it was actually the week we had to reschedule a road game on a Thursday night last season. I believe Clemson has a Friday night game at Syracuse late in the season. I think it's in October at some point. So it's just great, like you said, with Clemson. I always love looking in the programs, and they show the affiliates and the stations around the state that cover it. And I love looking at Greenwood, scanning to the right, and there's WCRS right there. Just a little boost of pride knowing that that's the station I work for that I've been with for over a few years now, and just knowing that we're the station for Tiger Nation as well as Viking Nation just means a whole lot to me, just being a big fan of both schools.
And of course, the good thing about Emerald is you get to hear it on the stream, our downloadable free app, WCRS Radio. Of course, that's a big plus. And the other thing is that our guys go to the away games too. A lot of schools just cover those local games, but we go everywhere there is a game going on, and kudos to you guys for making those trips.
Yeah, it's something we look forward to. I mean, we love the friendly confines, but we're always ready for either a place we've been before, see some folks we know, and get ready for a great venue, or a new place like we are for the coming year in the region-wise with Powdersville and Carolina, both on the road in October for region play. We know we'll expect a really tough and passionate crowd on both schools. The new kid in town, Powdersville, doing a great job. Carolina, that tough, rugged team, has a tough year after year, but still shows up to play on a Friday night. You know, but the only one we're worried about is August 18th, Emerald versus Greenwood. Emerald City rivalry, first time ever. Frank Hill Stadium is going to be good to be in the home stand for that first game going against the Eagles, the Battle of the Bypass.
Woo, 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 right there at Frank Hill Stadium. Yes, this is WCRS Radio, and if you can't go to the game, you can hear it right here. That's right. Hey, guys, thanks so much for doing what you do, and we appreciate you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing you on the radio.
Thank you, and year 8's going to be great.
Year 8's going to be great. There you go. All right, this is WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.